And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope your week is starting out strong. As ever and always, the news coming at a fast and furious clip to start our weeks off. And we have just the right guests here on the Maggie Dawn Show to help you make sense of it all. I'm joined this afternoon by my colleague in broadcasting, Matt Rothschild, host of Wisconsin Forward, a podcast you can find at civicmedia.us and anywhere that you like to find your favorite podcasts. I know I am a listener and sometimes privileged enough to be a guest with Matt. Matt and I are happy to bring on Executive Director of the ACLU Wisconsin, Dr. Melinda Brennan. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Dr. Brennan.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's just hit it full on. The big news coming out of the weekend was Donald Trump's apparent unfamiliarity with his oath of office and his fundamental promise to America to uphold and serve the Constitution of the United States. He did an interview with Meet the Press with Kristen Welker. Let's take a listen. This is Cut 8.
Your Secretary of State says everyone who's here, citizens and non-citizens, deserve due process. Do you agree? Mr. President?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
Don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president?
I don't know. I have to respond by saying again, I have brilliant lawyers that work for me, and they are going to obviously follow what the Supreme Court said.
I don't know if I have to follow the Constitution. Dr. Brennan, how... I don't want to swear on the air. How bat guano crazy is that statement from a now two-time president of the United States?
I think the correct percentage is 100%. I'm not sure that you can uphold your promise to the American people if you don't understand something as fundamental as due process. I don't think that you understand, for example, how disruptive it is to communities or to the judiciary, your actions, if you don't understand due process. I don't think that you're making policy decisions and or funding decisions and or any of the decisions that are coming down from this particular administration that impact every citizen and everyone who's living in the United States, if you don't understand something as fundamental as due process. I just don't think that you're competent if you don't understand due process. And you do not need to be an attorney to understand that. And I would hope that someone who had taken an oath as important as that would understand something as simple and as profound in everyday life as due process.
And of course, due process is guaranteed not just to U.S. citizens, but to all persons under the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. But what I gathered from that, other than his appalling disdain or disregard for the Constitution or ignorance of the Constitution, was his signaling to the U.S. Supreme Court that maybe they'll get him out of this ultimately. Did you hear that in his answer as well?
I continue to have concern, yes, for what his relationship to the Supreme Court is going to be. When rulings come down, whether they're at the federal level, as we've seen before, or at the Supreme Court, will he be following those rulings? Will he be further setting up a constitutional crisis? And an awful lot of colleagues, whether they're at ACLU National or in the legal field, are asking questions about what's the level of constitutional crisis that we already have. And so that's the state of affairs. The question is, how much more complicated or difficult is it going to be? How much more multifaceted is it going to be? How many more rulings is he going to be ignorant of, or how many traffic jams of who is in charge and what does the law mean? And those that are charged with being fair and upholding that law, whether that is judges or elected officials, are they going to be treated as traitors to the state for doing their jobs. And so when I say multifaceted, it isn't merely, and as important as the judiciary is, it isn't merely the judiciary. Are people who are holding our government together going to be allowed to do their jobs? Or are they going to be harassed and threatened at every turn and their jobs made so much more difficult? And are people going to be able to avail themselves of justice? Or are they going to be wondering constantly if the government that they depend on a daily basis falls apart?
And how deeply do you think we are down the hill into a constitutional crisis yourself?
I think we are already there. I mean, there are too many brilliant minds that are saying the same thing from very different ideological standpoints. And I think if there's something that's truly compelling for me, the ACLU is a nonpartisan organization. It's incredibly important that we hold people accountable across the political spectrum, right? And that we have to ask ourselves what's right for all of us. And an example of that is this lack of understanding or refusal to understand what due process is. If you're in trouble, don't you want to have your day in court? If you're accused of something, whether or not that's accurate, don't you want your day in court? And that should be something that we can all count on, whether we're citizens or not, across all kinds of statuses. You should be able to avail yourself of those rights, and to not understand them or to push them aside. I think that is to the kernel of your question. If you can't understand something as simple as that, it impacts us all. I think that the crisis can't be underestimated right now.
So this is what Trump was saying at Meet the Press. You know, we can't have a million court cases. We can't have these dangerous people have, you know, a million of them, 2 million of them, 3 million have court cases. It'll just clog the system and go on for hundreds of years. What's your answer to that?
Perhaps you shouldn't be putting the system in that position. Perhaps you shouldn't be changing policy so radically that that is the situation that we're in. And to imagine that these mere accusations of criminal activity that are often not backed up with some very obvious cases that I think we're all familiar with at this point of folks that have been removed from the United States, but there is no evidence to back up why they would have been removed, or folks being harassed or separated from their families. This is not based on pending cases. This is not, these are just, quite frankly, brown folks that you can accuse of not being from here. It is racist and it's xenophobic. It's also classist. And I don't think I think we don't do ourselves any favors if we're not talking about these things as intersecting. These are folks that don't have enough privilege to be able to protect themselves. Do you have friends in high places that you can just call for some legal advice? If you don't, then you are subject to a different set of the law acting on you than other people. And that is just unacceptable, because the vast majority of us don't have those resources. And so why should justice be so far away for them?
And justice is miles away. Even the most basic habeas corpus right of just going, not having a trial, just going to see a judge to see whether they can throw you out of the country or not. Even that is not afforded under Trump. I'm sorry, Maggie.
No, not at all. Folks, we got Matt Rothschild, my guest co-host, as a guest right now, Dr. Melinda Brennan, executive director of ACLU Wisconsin, discussing Donald Trump's eyebrow raising, to put it very mildly, interview and responses to easy, no-brainer questions from Kristen Welker yesterday on Meet the Press. I find all of this incredible. There was a whole bunch of what you guys were talking about that I wanted to lift up or take a different angle on. The first being Donald Trump, as a criminal defendant, received the most, like the biggest, the most amazing due process of any criminal defendant anywhere. The courts bent over backwards to afford him every opportunity to defend himself. The DOJ negotiated with Trump's lawyers about the stolen super secret spy documents that put our country at risk because he just threw them into a ballroom and a gilded golden bathroom. So for that guy who got every benefit that our system provides, it is illustrative, Dr. Brennan, of precisely what you are saying. And that is, yeah, you bet your butt we've had a two-tiered system of justice in this country. And it's never been about Republicans and Democrats. It's been about haves and have access and have nots, especially the have nots that are Black and brown folks who may speak with an accent. That's the two-tier system of justice. It's been this way forever. Donald Trump's making that inequity worse, contrary to his most fundamental oath that he owes all of us as citizens. The system overload argument I find to be offensive at every point. We cannot say, as a nation that is supposedly a nation of laws, that we will set aside the laws when it's because it's hard. Oh, this is hard, so we'll just forget the laws. That's not how it works. And by the way, the bill that had been negotiated in the Senate prior to Donald Trump's reelection in November, that was a bipartisan border bill, provided the very resources to expand system capacity to avoid the problem that he's now saying alleviates him of the obligation to follow the Constitution and due process. Dr. Brennan, am I missing something here, or is that what we got going on?
You sure aren't. No, Maggie. No, Maggie, you're not missing a thing at all. Here's an example of policy having immediate real-world impacts that change the quality of life for everyday folks that live in the United States, as well as this that holds or undergirds the situation that we're in now. The sensitive locations policy, this idea that you're not supposed to have ICE agents in houses of worship, in courtrooms.
Schools, yeah.
In schools, where medical professionals are. Why? Because it's a basic quality of life thing. Should you be able to take your kids to school? Yeah, I think so. Should you be able to get medical care? Yeah, I think so. But the undoing of that internal policy was not codified in law. That is some of the ground that you have to build before you get to this place of saying 2-3 million. Well, if you had just left that policy in place, would we be talking about judges and whether or not they have control in their courtrooms? Would we? Would we be having a debate about a governor who says, I want my employees, my state employees who are doing their jobs, who are executing their duties to make sure that we have a functioning state of Wisconsin. I just want them to be able to have an attorney present so that they can follow the law. So the accusations that are coming now and the attacks, the repeated attacks that we're seeing against the judiciary and other elected officials, all of that depends on what? Going all the way back to a policy that was internal, that did not have to be upended, where there were protected spaces for folks, where they could just get their basic needs met. And that includes, and I just want to highlight this, and Maggie, you've been bringing us back to this as part of the conversation over the last weeks. How can you seek justice if there are going to be folks of different citizenship statuses? How can you seek justice if you are a witness and doing your duty to the place that you live and showing up to testify, if you are a victim and you're looking for justice, right? And also, all of us need to be able to access that due process, but you change that one policy and then all of a sudden courtrooms are thrown into the mix as a lightning rod, and any kind of attempt to uphold the law and to have employees of the government do their jobs well, all of a sudden that's in peril. But why? Because you threw away a sensitive location policy that had been in place for a very long time. Well, you upend that, and then you want to not live up to the requirements of due process to your oath of office. I think that's a manufactured situation. One that we did not have to be in just now. A question that is only being asked because of what's been put in motion.
Just like our constitutional crisis, just like our economic crisis, just like our foreign policy crisis, all of those unforced errors that have real life existential consequences for your family, for mine, and for all of our communities. We continue our discussion of the attacks on our most closely held American values and our rule of law with Dr. Melinda Brennan, Executive Director of ACLU Wisconsin, and my co-host today, Matt Rothschild. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.